Gather round, children, listen. Let me tell you a story about a village that is built with his glory. No sorrow in this place. Just lift your voice and say, let's celebrate. Look like it's gonna be a lovely day. Come on, everybody, let's celebrate. Forget your worries, throw your problems away. Come on, everybody, let's celebrate. Throw your smile, throw your smile, throw your smile now. Everybody, let's celebrate. Oh, 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 oh. Everybody, let's celebrate.
Welcome to the Village Celebration Radio Show. I'm Vicki Newton. Thank you so much for joining us. We begin with a question. What does Dr. King mean to you? How do you plan to celebrate his birthday on Monday, January 18th, which, as you know, is a federal holiday? Just let that soak in for a minute. A federal holiday. There are only 10 federal holidays on the calendar, and Dr. King's birthday is one of them. Joining us now to talk about the King holiday and the activities at the King Center is Ernest Brooks, who is an executive at the King Center. Mr. Brooks, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here, and thank you for the invitation.
Tell us what is planned for Dr. King's birthday.
We at the King Center have a 8-day celebration plan that began on Friday, January 8th, last Friday. We started with a kickoff reception where we invited community leaders and people from throughout the Atlanta area, even some who traveled from around the country, to lead us in celebrating what is Dr. King's 78th birthday this year. And so we started last Friday. We went through the weekend with a series of conversations. We had what we called the Beloved Community Talks, and we talked about the race factor, which is the persistence and presence of race in our society and in our communal discourse. And we also talked about rights versus responsibilities. What happens on the other side of us gaining rights and acknowledging rights? What are the responsibilities of individuals and communities to uphold the spirit of those rights? And we moved then Sunday into a book signing with members of the King family and others who have written about Dr. King's legacy and peace and nonviolence. And we picked all of that work up this week with a series of sessions that we call Students with King, where we invite elementary, middle, and high school students to come to the King Center campus, to tour the center, and to meet members of Dr. King's family, and also some individuals from what we call the ground crew, who knew Dr. King and worked with him at SCLC in the 1950s and 60s, and who can give firsthand accounts of what it was like to live and work and converse with Dr. King. And then tonight, we're going to have a program that's focused on environmental justice. And so our work is a combination of memorial and legacy reflection. And so we look back and try to mine some of the gems from the activity of the civil rights movement. But then we're also looking forward. And so we're convening conversations about where we go from here and what some of the pressing issues of our time are. And as you know, environmental justice and protecting our planet and making sure that all people, regardless of their economic background, have the ability to access food and water and breathe clean air is a social justice issue. And so we're going to be addressing that this evening. And we finish out the weekend with a service project on Saturday, a gala on Saturday evening to celebrate the accomplishments of the King Center over the past year, and then our annual commemorative service on Monday, where the interfaith community comes together to celebrate the life and legacy of Dr. King.
If I may say, that is a marvelous calendar celebrating Dr. King's birthday. You are truly keeping the dream alive. When you mentioned this would have been Dr. King's 78th birthday, I was struck by... 87th, okay. It would have been his 87th birthday. So much has happened since that April day in Memphis. How have you all kept his memory so strong and so relevant?
credit for the institutionalization and perpetuation of Dr. King's legacy in large part must go to his wife, Mrs. Coretta Scott King. We honor and celebrate Dr. King for the work that he did, and he truly was a great leader and a great man. But from day one, Mrs. King saw their marriage and relationship as a partnership. And so she is a celebrated civil and human rights leader in her own right. She walked alongside Dr. King. She was there with him and thinking through strategy and praying with and for him as he went and traveled around the world, raised their family with their four beautiful children. But after Dr. King was assassinated on April 4th, Mrs. King got to work. Yes, she mourned the loss of her husband. She organized her children and her family to rally together, but she realized that Dr. King's legacy was so important to the nation and to the world that it had to be institutionalized and memorialized. And so she established the Martin Luther King Jr. Center in June of 1968, just a few months after his death, and began work on a number of different fronts. She began cataloging his papers and the papers of those organizations and individuals who worked with him so that scholars and researchers in perpetuity would have a place to come to research the legacy, to learn about it, to publish books and articles and movies about Dr. King's life so that future generations would understand the history of the movement. And then she also started building programs around nonviolent social change so that people would understand the philosophy and strategies that Dr. King employed in his work, but understand them not just from a place of historical reflection, but to receive education and training so that they could incorporate those strategies in their own life and work. And then she also believed that there were issues in the community that needed to be addressed. And so one of Dr. King's standard-bearing issues was economic justice. And so at the King Center, she started a daycare program for the Sweet Auburn community. She began to build a historic district and organizations in the neighborhood where Dr. King's birth home and Ebenezer Baptist Church are to make sure that the neighborhood was able to be revitalized and that the historic character of the neighborhood was kept intact so that when visitors come to pay respects to Dr. King at the crypt here at the King Center or at the birth home, that the community would reflect the community that Dr. King lived and grew up in. And so the King Center's work and Dr. King's living legacy is really a product of the foresight and hard work of Mrs. King and those around her.
She was indeed a keeper of the dream and a visionary, as you pointed out, in her own right. In addition, right or wrong, I certainly think wrong, the issue of social justice has been quite stubborn. And so the groundwork Dr. King laid and his philosophy has been timeless.
It has been. And, you know, I don't think that that is by accident. Dr. King was a Christian minister. He was also a theologian and philosopher, a PhD-trained theologian and philosopher, having studied at Morehouse College, Crozier Theological Seminary. He did the PhD at Boston University, and while he was there, he also studied at Harvard and University of Pennsylvania, and so he was well-read and well-studied. He was steeped in the nonviolent tradition of Mahatma Gandhi and also the philosophy of Ralph Waldo Emerson and Henry David Thoreau, and the theological tradition of social justice and resistance. And so he took all of those strands and pulled them together into a philosophy of nonviolence with steps and actions that were associated and built on that philosophy. And it was that ground and that consistency that allowed him to build a movement for nonviolent social change and to sustain it, even when there were challenges along the way. Mm-hmm. That philosophy and the consistency that it provided is what ultimately allowed his work to be successful, and is also what we teach for people to understand that nonviolence was not just a strategy that was effective in the 1950s and 1960s, but nonviolence is a philosophy and a way of life that is still the most powerful force in the world for nonviolent social change.
What I also want to clarify is that Dr. King and so many others perhaps thought we would have moved much further along this continuum in terms of fair treatment, the erosion of racism, but those have persisted. What do you think he would say we need to do today?
I think Dr. King was clear in his messaging that, yes, that, you know, there's a lot that still needs to be done. Even in his time, he is quoted as saying that the moral arc of the universe is long, but he believed that it bends toward justice. And we continue to hold that belief and that faith today, that, you know, the line of progress is not a straight line, but it's something that we have to continue to fight for and work toward. And so, you know, we celebrate the great legislative and judicial gains that we won, and especially the 1960s with the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act, in the 1950s with gains in interstate commerce and public accommodation and the desegregation of schools. But we understand that after the legislative victories, that you have to continue the work of building and inspiring hearts and minds to embody the spirit behind those decisions and those victories. And so even though, you know, you could have a Brown versus Board of Education in 1954 that legally desegregated education, there are consistent maneuvers to resegregate public education, to divert dollars to certain schools and districts that negatively impact certain populations, that there are still issues around teacher quality and issues around the consistency in education that students would get from one school to another. There are still issues in terms of public funding to make sure that housing stock in certain communities is equitable with others, that people are paid equal pay for equal work, both in terms of race and gender. So there's a lot of work to be done, and there's no doubt that if Dr. King were here today, that he would be continuing to fight for civil rights and social justice, and that all of us who honor his legacy and celebrate him do that best not only by attending events and services over the weekend and reflecting on Dr. King's life and legacy on Monday when his message is on every television channel and you hear I Have a Dream on the radio, but also asking, what can I do in my community? Can I call my congressman, my city council person? Can I work with my church, my community group to continue the struggle for equal rights and social justice in our society?
Because the struggle is indeed ongoing. In case some of us reached the point where we thought all had been accomplished, I think the recent events of the past few years have served to remind us that we have not reached that mountaintop. And so, to your point, on Monday, find yourself doing something that advances the dream. Call to action from the King Center?
Yes, most definitely. The first King holiday was celebrated in 1986. The federal holiday was signed into law in 1983, and in 1986, the first holiday, federal holiday was celebrated. However, in 1994, President Clinton signed into law the King Holiday and Service Act that made the holiday not just a federal holiday of memorial, but codified it into federal law as a day of service. And so we say that the King holiday is a day on and not a day off. And every year we make a point in our branding and in our messaging to focus on the activity of the King holiday. And so this year for 2016, our theme is Remember, Celebrate, Act, King's Legacy of Freedom for Our World. And so we encourage people to remember Dr. King's legacy and the struggles and the hard-won freedoms that Dr. King and many others sacrificed their lives for, to celebrate that legacy, but not to stop there, but to act on that legacy, to make sure that Dr. King's legacy of freedom and justice is inspiring us to continue to do that work wherever we are. We know that everybody's not going to do that work in the same way, but we ask that everybody do something. If it's volunteering in a local community, go do that. If it's standing up and protesting some an injustice, do that. If it's lobbying to change laws to make sure that our public policy reflects the spirit of justice and freedom, then do that. But whatever it is you can do, do something to act on Dr. King's birthday and beyond. We want this to go throughout the year. And so this year is really the activation of that spirit. And so when we gather together on Monday, we're going to inspire people to go back to their cities and towns and communities and continue this work. And then we want them to come back on the King Holiday 2017, mm-hmm. able to celebrate the work that they did throughout this year.
I really like that. And so when Monday dawns, let that day find us preparing to spend that day acting, remembering, but
definitely
also acting.
Certainly.
Ernest Brooks from the King Center in Atlanta, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. It's been my pleasure.
And we'll be right back on the Village Celebration Radio Show.
Way, the J.C. Loves Morning Show.
You were playing a song, and you said it was a 9-11 song.
Stop it, stop it. I want you to stop it. I want you to just stop, okay?
7-11.
It's called, I call it a 7-11
song. 7-11
song.
He's going to name it after the gas station.
No.
7-11. They don't have gas stations like that no more.
You sure right.
You get that Slurpee. You
7-11, baby.
Yay.
Was your midnight.
I didn't talk about nobody. No, you said midnight. Just talk about what you're talking about. 7-Eleven was your midnight late night, baby. When you leave the club or when you were sneaking and peeking and can on. 7-Eleven and can on. Had what you need. Richard, I got one. What you got there?
I just want to know, on those late night runs, what would you get at 7-Eleven?
You would get a 100 bar and some chocolate chip cookies. Now read in between there.
Behold, my friends!
You got it.
All right, all right!
The Joy Network.
All right, listen up!
Streaming to a worldwide audience with a local appeal.
Are y'all ready?
Indigo Television is here.
All right, let's break it down. Let's break it down.
It's an internet-based television network that includes sports, entertainment, talk, politics, and education.
I'm Kofi Adjopa, founder and CEO of Indigo Television. Entertainment everywhere.
Our goal is to become a major source of family-oriented entertainment on the internet. Check us out right now. Indigo TV. Indigo.tv.
Do you have a minute? How about 30? Just 30 minutes a day of exercise could save your life. And it just might change your family's life, too. Just 30 minutes a day of the electric slide, the funky chicken, the mashed potato, or Zumba can boost your brain power and improve circulation. Just 30 minutes a day of hula hooping, playing tag, riding bikes, or nature walks can reduce stress and help improve your relationships, too. Just 30 minutes a day of basketball, jogging, playing double dutch, or jump rope can decrease your risk for all kinds of diseases, including stroke, diabetes, or heart disease. Doctors call it 30 minutes a day of exercise. Kids call it 30 minutes of playing. We call it 30 minutes of fun and making memories. Whatever you call it, let's move and make it a family affair. Choose a few fun activities to get your entire family moving. So drop the phone and give me 30. Drop the remote and give me 30. As Mama used to say, go outside and play. Brought to you by the Arkansas Minority Health Commission.
Welcome back to the Village Celebration Radio Show. When an assassin's bullet cut Dr. King's life short, he had traveled to Memphis, Tennessee to support a worker strike. Joining me now from Memphis is Bernal Smith, publisher of the Tri-State Defender. Bernal, thank you for joining us.
Yo, thank you. Thank you for having me. Glad to be with you.
The Lorraine Motel in Memphis, where Dr. King was shot, is now part of the Civil Rights Museum. What are your thoughts when you see that balcony, the wreath that adorns that area?
It is definitely an iconic place that represents quintessentially the struggle, and in some instances sort of the culmination of one part of the struggle, if you will, for civil rights and justice in this country. So it's a significant place that really represents a lot of history for not only for Memphis but for the entire country and in many aspects the world.
Memphis plays a pivotal role in Dr. King's legacy. How do you think the city has contributed to preserving it? We mentioned the Civil Rights Museum. In its DNA, is there some sense of its role in the civil rights movement?
You know, I think there is, but I also think that Memphis has struggled as a community with, you know, with that legacy of, mm-hmm. of being the place of Dr. King's assassination. And in some instances, you know, Memphis, from its Egyptian history, which means the city of the dead, sort of lived up to its or lived down to its to that name with the assassination of Dr. King. And because of the racial makeup here, a city that's almost 70% African American, a city that struggles even now with issues of poverty and issues of education inequality and economic inequality, there's still a lot of struggles that we're battling with, and I think some of that still lingers from having been the assassination place of the man that really was a visionary and active leader of what, you know, most people know as a civil rights movement here in the United States.
So at the risk of sounding a little bit dramatic, you are suggesting that perhaps Memphis bears that burden or is carrying that burden?
Yeah, I think that'd be accurate. I mean, there's so many. Even now, we will in conversations, particularly around the holiday, you know, this time and leading up to it, you'll have, you know, number of celebrations that occur. But even within that, you hear whispers of mm-hmm. of various accounts of conspiracies that happen, and you know why, you know, police officers were moved, and mm-hmm. why he was moved from the Rivermont Hotel to the Lorraine Motel, and mm-hmm. there's still a lot of things, mystery that sort of shrouds that, and you know, I just don't. I think in some ways we're still battling as mm-hmm. a community to get beyond that and to really sort of, you know, crystallize our place as a city in terms of what Dr. King's role and presence, you know, meant. Clearly, the sanitation strike that took place mm-hmm. That really brought Dr. King here, which was really sort of off path that he was on, because he's really focused on the Poor People's Campaign.
Sure.
But understanding that these were workers who were basically getting, you know, menial wages and working in terrible conditions, it really sort of, you know, identified, you know, the things that they were working on, mm-hmm. but it was not really a part of the plan. And so for him to come here and spend the time, have a march, original march that happened at the, you know, March 28th, that didn't
exactly.
go well,
exactly,
and then have to come back, you know, for a second one and deal with some, and then there were legal challenges to that, but ultimately at the end of the day, you know, the issues that brought him here, and then for him ultimately to lose his life here, I think that, you know, has really brought kind of a some identity issues relative to our community.
I can certainly understand what you're saying. What are the plans in the city on Monday?
Oh, there's a number of things that are going on. Lemoyne On College, which is the only HBCU here in Memphis, has an annual prayer breakfast that they're hosting, and I'll be attending that. Of course, Operation Push has an event that takes place at Reverend Samuel Billy Cowles, who was actually with Dr. King at that particular on the balcony mm-hmm. during that particular mm-hmm. time, and they have a annual event that they hold there, which starts at 11 a.m. There at Monumental Baptist Church in sort of the South Memphis area. Of course, the Memphis Grizzlies. Our pro basketball team has an annual Martin Luther King Jr. basketball game that starts at 1:30. And, of course, that's a national recognition and celebration of the life and contributions of Dr. King through the National Basketball Association. And, of course, we have partnered, when I say we, the new Tri-State Defender, have partnered with the National Civil Rights Museum in their annual recognition and celebration of Dr. King's life. And that will take place at the National Civil Rights Museum, of course, with the Lorraine Motel is a part of. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much an all-day thing from 9 to about 6. And there'll be all kinds of activities for youth, you know, a lot of recognitions. The mm-hmm. admission to the museum is like it's $5, but it of course, goes to a very, very worthy cause. But a lot of things, and that's only a glimpse of what's going on in the city, but there are certainly a lot of activities and opportunities for people to be active, and there's a lot of other service opportunities for people to go into the community and contribute to the life of their fellow man, and you know, contribute to things that help make our community a better place. So lots going on, great place to be during this time of year.
And it is a day of service, as you indicated. Give us your web address so we can check in and follow your staff, your reporting corps,
yes,
updating on Monday.
Yes. Absolutely. There's a whole list of items, even beyond the ones that I mentioned, that are on our website. And that website is TSD Memphis. That's Tom, Susan, David, like Tri-State Defender, mm-hmm. TSDMemphis.com.
We appreciate you joining us, Bernal Smith, publisher of the Tri-State Defender in Memphis, Tennessee. Have a good weekend, and we appreciate you, as always, joining us in the Village.
Thank you.
When we come back, a new contributor in the Village, Jim Scott. You will want to stay with us so you can meet Jim, and then later in our show, we travel to the nation's capital to learn more about the Memorial Foundation, the King Monument on the National Mall. Stay with us. You're listening to the Village Celebration Radio Show.
I still have a dream. America, tell me, what has happened to our love? One nation under God, we the people. Can there be a day, a federal holiday, where we unite in brotherly love? One day to give honor to God and the keepers of the faith, a holy day. Give us this day, a day of love that overcomes hate. Preachers, are you with me? Give us this day, from the Little Rock Nine to the Carolina Nine, ensuring that their sacrifices will not be in vain. Give us this day, a historic day, where hundreds and thousands of clergy, state leaders, youth activists, high school and college educators, students, mentors, and institutions will convene at the state capitol, proclaim and pray for the works for Arkansas to honor this day as an exclusive celebration. Give us this day, January 18, 2016, the Proclamation Bracelet Rally. God has spoken. The governor has spoken. So let us all unite, celebrate, and feel the movement from prophecy to promise. God bless you.
Presented by the Arkansas NAACP, the College of Aspiring Artists, and the Pine Bluff Interested Citizens for Voter Registration.
Roberta Faye Hires got her life back thanks to the Arkansas Tobacco Quit Line.
I smoked for 37 years, but with the support of my quit coach, I finally overcame my addiction. The Quit Line helped me set my own goals and turned a few steps into thousands. Now I run marathons. I'm stronger, healthier, and a positive role model for my grandchildren. I'm proud to say that I'm a quitter. You deserve to be proud of yourself, too. too. When you quit tobacco, you win.
Quit smoking or vaping. Call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. Live tobacco and nicotine free.
Welcome back to the Village Celebration. Tonight, I am so excited about a contributor who is joining the Village. He is a friend, a mentor, just an excellent human being. Say hello to Jim Scott. Hi, Jim.
Hello, Vicki. You're too kind.
I tell the truth.
You are too kind.
You know, it's mandatory as a reporter. Now, you've been a reporter for decades, one of the most outstanding, most credible, having done stints at NBC, in Philadelphia, in Pittsburgh, really all around the country. Tell us, what is it about retirement at this point, which is what you're doing now, that you enjoy and what you miss about reporting?
These days, I'm having a chance to really think about all that I've been through, my life. I mean, I've started to write about my life, not for any particular purpose, just for me, perhaps for my children, for my other family members, because it's, you know, as we grow and as we work and as we move from city to city and do many different things, we don't stop to think about the mm-hmm. things we've done.
We're too busy doing them.
Exactly. And then when I stopped, I sat, I took a deep breath and said, wow, this has been a great ride. I've done a lot of things, some of which I set out to do. Others came just by surprise, but, you know, welcome surprises along the way. Mm-hmm. And there have been some setbacks and some bad times. You know, all these years weren't great times.
Sure.
But they were different times.
And that is life.
I look back at them with fondness.
And we are happy to serve as the benefactors of your introspection and your experience. So you're joining us weekly to share commentary, thoughts, reflections, and you're starting tonight?
Yes, I am. And I'm going to talk about something that I'm not impacted by, but I see a lot of my peers and a lot of folks who are retired now are being affected by, and that is finances. You know, people work for years and everything's going well and they have their homes and their cars and mm-hmm. their clothes and everything, and one day they stop working mm-hmm. and if they haven't made plans for that one day, uh-oh.
And that is such a timely message for those listening who are in their 20s and 30s and 40s.
Absolutely.
Now is the time to save. Oh, let's take a break and come back and hear your thoughts about retirement and saving for it.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Recent studies have shown that diabetes can be prevented, and the results are even greater with my patients over age 60. Losing a small amount of weight by getting some physical activity, 30 minutes, 5 days a week, and eating healthier has proven to be effective. Listen to the great results from one of my patients.
I had to learn how to change my way of eating because diabetes ran in my family, and I wanted to take control of it before I got it.
Having diabetes in your family and being overweight puts you at a higher risk for type 2 diabetes. These risks increase with age, which is why it is important to take your first step today.
There was a time I could not go from my basement up to my bedroom, but now I can, and that means a lot to me.
It's not too late to prevent diabetes. Join my patients who are taking small steps and gaining big rewards.
For more information on how to prevent type 2 diabetes, call 1-800-438-5383. This is a message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the National Diabetes Education Program.
You don't have to play sports to be a champion. On or off the field, each day, you dedicate time and effort to reach your personal goals and dreams. But tobacco use can ruin your hard work and path to higher achievement. If you use tobacco, make a play that brings you one step closer to victory and better health. Call the Arkansas Tobacco Quit Line at 1-800-QUIT-NOW to speak with a quit counselor about free medication and support. It's time to feel like the champion you are.
Are you an aspiring writer? Do you have the next big breakout novel bubbling in your brain but can't quite understand how to put pen to paper? Hi, I'm Kendra Norman, and you're invited to join the Royal Pen Network for some praise and prose every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on JoyNetRadio.com. Avoid pitfalls and get published Wednesdays with me, Kendra Norman, on JoyNetRadio.com.
So if you've just joined us, we are welcoming Jim Scott, who will become a regular contributor to The Village. And tonight is Jim's first commentary. And Jim, you're talking about something that I think a lot of us don't think about until it's a little bit too late. So,
absolutely, Vicki. You know, I decided a few years back to stop working and enjoy life to the fullest. No early wake-up calls, no trips to the bus stop, just kind of chilling in my PJs while the rest of the world moved on. They call it retirement, but I've decided I do not like, nor do I agree with that word, retire, to describe what happens. So let's separate the word for a moment. Re is indicative of something happening over, and of course I'm not doing a workover. Tired is what I was working, and what tens of thousands like me are right now, but they can't stop working because of their age and or the lack of funds to carry them through the rest of their days. So I'll ask for the audience's help in renaming the end of the work experience. But along those lines, and quite important to those in their 30s and 40s, even those in their 20s, who are spending money like there's no tomorrow, I got to tell you, tomorrow will be here before they blink, and all those fancy things, cars, clothes, purses, houses, they don't really mean much if you one day have to choose between eating or buying medicine. Now, if folks think that can happen, better open their eyes, because a lot of senior citizens are going through it right now. I've seen it. It's not just the elderly, too. You can go to any bank on Monday when the folks who have overdrawn their checking accounts stream in to straighten out the mess. It's hard to balance anything when the output doesn't equal the input with no reasonable change in sight. Now, that's not to say that people should panic, but it is to say they should start planning right now. Go through their spending and list all of the non-essential items. Figure out what they're spending, trying to hit Powerball or Mega Millions or the money they've thrown at a slot machine at their favorite gambling spot. Most of that is what they should be putting away for tomorrow. Now, many of the folks have jobs that will allow them to save money before taxes, but too many don't do it in the fear they'll come up short on payday. Others don't believe they can do it for themselves, so they turn to help from outside sources. Now, understand, I'm not criticizing outside help for those who absolutely need the help. I'm challenging the thinking that a person can simply depend on help from elsewhere, so why do anything now to help themselves later? Money they put away grows. A simple start to easing the monthly income dilemma: write it down, create a budget of necessary items to sustain living, rent, mortgage, utilities, car payment, insurance, gasoline, or transit money. I'm shocked at how many people have never done this because they're afraid the numbers won't work out. So instead of finding a way to help themselves dig out of a hole, they keep digging the hole deeper and spending. And then they push the panic button. Well, if you're lucky enough to get to be an old person, and if you don't start planning for that, then those golden years won't be very golden. The future starts right now. And as for the word retired, I've tried to come up with a word to replace it, but I can't come up with anything. For now, I'll just sip on a scotch and try to figure something out. I've earned it. In the meantime, I'm Jim Scott. That's what I'm talking about.
You have earned it, Jim. Thank you. Make sure you join us in The Village on The Village Celebration Radio Show to hear what else Jim Scott is talking about. When we return, our visit from The Village doctor, Dr. Diane Marshall. We're talking about African-American women and heart disease. About 30. Just 30 minutes a day of exercise could save your life. And it just might change your family's life too. Just 30 minutes a day of the electric slide, the funky chicken, the mashed potato or Zumba can boost your brain power and improve circulation. Just 30 minutes a day of hula hooping, playing tag, riding bikes, or nature walks can reduce stress and help improve your relationships too.
Just 30 minutes a day of basketball, jogging, playing double dutch, or jump rope can decrease your risk for all kinds of diseases, including stroke, diabetes, or heart disease. Doctors call it 30 minutes a day of exercise. Kids call it 30 minutes of playing. We call it 30 minutes of fun and making memories. Whatever you call it, let's move and make it a family affair. Choose a few fun activities to get your entire family moving. So drop the phone and give me 30. Drop the remote and give me 30. As Mama used to say, go outside and play. Brought to you by the Arkansas Minority Health Commission.
You don't have to play sports to be a champion. On or off the field, each day, you dedicate time and effort to reach your personal goals and dreams. But tobacco use can ruin your hard work and path to higher achievement. If you use tobacco, make a play that brings you one step closer to victory and better health. Call the Arkansas Tobacco Quit Line at 1-800-QUIT-NOW to speak with a quit counselor about free medication and support. It's time to feel like the champion you are.
My daughter made me this cute bottle with a little water in it. Until I can quit smoking, I can stop flicking cigarette butts and put them in here when I drive. They're litter, plain and simple. This is my way to help keep Arkansas beautiful.
For every ton of paper we recycle, we save 17 trees. I really like trees. Recycling helps keep Arkansas beautiful. A message from the station.
The Arkansas Broadcasters Association
and Keep Arkansas Beautiful.
How are those New Year's resolutions coming along as they relate to your health? The doctor is in the house, Dr. Diane Marshall. Dr. Di, heart disease in African American women, it is a top medical conversation. What's the latest advice?
Well, hi, Vicki. Well, first of all, heart disease is probably number one in just about any woman's life. And a recent article that did a survey on the number of primary care doctors and cardiovascular or cardiologists who actually make it or think that it's number one was pretty disappointing, disappointing. Heart disease is the number one killer in women and men, and yet for most women, it's been pretty much, I won't say totally ignored, but it's not at the top of our list.
Well, I'm curious, what is at the top of the list?
Well, according to this survey, which was actually done by Dr. Anderson, and she did this survey with the American Heart Association at their scientific sessions, and what she found was that when women come to their doctors, their primary care doctors, the number one thing that women tend to talk about is obesity and managing obesity, and that heart disease was number three on the list. Now, that's not to say physicians are not concerned about it, but I guess in women, we are not taking it seriously enough. Being overweight was the biggest one, and cardiovascular disease, number three.
Maybe it's,
even though it's the number one killer.
Is it possible, and you would know certainly better than I, that we simply have not heard the message that heart disease is the number one killer?
That could be possible. And, you know, we can get mixed messages from the media, too. You know, when you look at people in the media, they all look like they are the picture of health. Now, that's not to say that they are. And so those images tend to make women more concerned with what their outwardly appearance is, as opposed to what's really going on inside. So they're more concerned with, you know, whether or not they're obese, whether or not they're overweight, what their face looks like. So we need to take a little bit deeper look at what's actually going on inside those arteries that increase our risk of heart attacks and stroke.
That is such an excellent point. So much of the messaging regards our exterior. How big are you? How young do you look? And all of those things. But to your point, it's the inside that matters. So how do we get that inside, the arteries and our heart in optimal shape?
Well, we kind of start with where we were last week. You know, we left off last week with talking about, you know, just trying to fit some exercise into your daily life. And I hope everybody heard us and at least started with the 10 minutes, because now we're moving into our second week, mm-hmm. where we're going to increase that to 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. So, number one, let's just get moving. Just get moving so that you can decrease your risk of heart disease. Now, having said that, some people can't control their risk of having a family history of heart disease. So even though you may not be able to control that, that's a given, you can control the other factors. If you smoke, stop smoking.
Just stop.
If you have high blood pressure, that's right. If you have high blood pressure, take your medicines. Or if you are overweight, lose the weight so mm-hmm. that it decreases your risk.
Mm-hmm. Those are the three actions we can take. If you smoke,
those
stop.
Are some of them. That's
some of
right.
them?
Okay. That's right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There are other actions we can take, but those are the biggest, some of the biggest ones that I can think of. You know, there are other things that may contribute to heart disease as well, which include diabetes and high cholesterol. So we'll start with some of the modifiable ones, like being overweight and inactive and smoking. Those are very modifiable.
So in a way, this notion of obesity being a top concern is understandable. Because the obesity mm-hmm. impacts the health of your heart.
That's correct. That
so we're
correct.
Moving in the village 15 minutes this week?
We got to go 15 minutes this week, Vicki. And before we go, before you leave today, I just want to, you know, emphasize with women that a lot of times we don't have the typical symptoms mm-hmm. that men will have. We may have chest pain, sure enough, but what about some of those other symptoms? So I want women to become more cognizant of, you know, that extreme fatigue.
Yes.
Or you may get more of the neck or jaw pain as opposed to just the chest pain. The nausea, vomiting, or just some discomfort that's just not something you're used to experiencing. You might want to check it out with your primary care physician.
It's so important. It is so important.
So important.
So we're doing yes. our part to spread the news that it's heart disease. We need to focus
yes,
on,
ma'am.
Along with the others, but heart disease,
yep.
top of the list. Dr. Dye, it's always good to talk with you. Thank you for joining us.
It's always good to be in the village.
15 minutes this week. We're back in a moment with Harry Johnson, president of the Memorial Foundation.
Article in the newspaper.
The one about supporting our black-owned businesses?
Yes, that one. It also said Asian Americans keep a dollar in their community 26 days, Hispanics 21, and we, African Americans, only 6 hours?
What can we do to support our businesses?
Well, here's one way. The U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce has an app that helps locate black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's a wonderful idea. Where's my phone?
For more information about the free mobile app, go to usblackchambers.org.
You love hunting season. You've camouflaged yourself to blend in with your surroundings, but you're still searching for the best place to hide. Even if it takes a lifetime, you won't give up until you take down your target. It's impressive, really, that mouth cancer displays such dedication. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Did you think I was talking to you? No, I'm talking to the cancer-causing chemicals that damaged your mouth last year while you were dipping in your tree stand.
Ditch the dip. For help quitting, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW today.
Here's a quick tip from Hansel's Cookin' Vegan. Rev up your metabolism by increasing protein and fiber intake. Increase your daily activity by walking, running, or dancing. Read labels. Look for items with high fiber, low sodium, carbs, and sugars. Limit fast foods. Self-prepared meals help to limit fat and sodium intake. Combine these tips to avoid excessive weight gain. Get more healthy tips at Hansel's Cookin' Vegan. Change your diet to change your life.
Stretch your tax dollars at Butler Furniture Depot and celebrate our 10-year anniversary sale. Biggest sale ever. Use our low credit check purchase plan with instant approval up to $4,000 with no money down, with 90 days same as cash. 1 month on the job, $1,200 a month income, and an active checking account. Congratulations, you're approved. Free layaway still available. Call 945-1222 for details and directions.
Butler done it, Butler Furniture Depot.
We are happy to have with us tonight Harry Johnson, who is the president of the Memorial Foundation. As you know, the King Memorial in the nation's capital is sitting on the last available spot along the National Mall. And Mr. Johnson and a group of other very determined African-American men were able to pull together enough money to pay this wonderful tribute to Dr. King. Mr. Johnson, good evening, and thank you for being with us.
Good evening. Thank you for allowing me to be with you.
How did you all do it?
I think sheer determination and help from everybody out there who's listening to you. They got involved, and they sent their nickels, quarters, dimes, and dollars in to help build the memorial on the mall to Dr. King.
It took a while? Was it harder than you all thought it would be at the outset?
Well, everything, whenever you're raising money, there are different things pulling at you all the time. And to have a campaign for $127 million is no small task. It
sure
takes years to do that, but within those years, everything else happens. So no matter who your sponsors are, whether it's General Motors, Ford, Tommy Hilfiger, all your large sponsors, they get pulled in all kinds of directions as well when mm-hmm. a national disaster happens or they need to put funds elsewhere. So mm-hmm. it gets hard at times, but you have to work with it.
It takes vision and perseverance.
Without question. And, I mean, at any point in time, you can give up, but you have to be determined to say, look, we're going to get this done and we're going to make it happen. And so that's what happened with the Martin Luther King Memorial. The Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity, which created and started the project, the brothers there were so supportive over the years that it took to get us there, the corporations, but also the people who gave money, as I mentioned earlier. But you also had different segments of population, including the faith-based initiative that came up and all the other Greek letter organizations that contributed money to help build the memorial to Dr. King.
And so as we prepare to celebrate Dr. King's birthday, how does it feel to know that you played such a pivotal role in the creation of this grand memorial in the nation's capital?
Well, I mean, there's a sense of achievement. There's no question about it. But also just makes you feel a sense of fulfillment as well when you go over to the memorial, as we will do on Monday. And all day Monday, people are going to be coming in there paying their tributes to Dr. King. And what better place to do it than either here in D.C. or, of course, at the King Center in Atlanta.
Absolutely.
But groups of people just come throughout the day, and they might start singing. They may say a prayer. But everyone has some type of expression of appreciation for what Dr. King did, not only in this country, but indeed the world.
And help me if I have my information wrong, but Dr. King's memorial is visited not only on his birthday, but with regularity and impressive regularity throughout the year.
Without question, Dr. King's memorial is probably one of the most visited memorials in Washington, D.C. It is a place of pride for people, especially of color, who come by. They have visitors in town. I hear it often. The first thing we do is take our people over to the Martin Luther King Memorial.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a place of silence and a place of where you could just sit and think about Dr. King, but think about the world. So throughout the night, 24/7, people stop by and just sit and meditate over the words that are there, but also over the reason and purpose of why we built the memorial.
Very moving. It's very moving. What do you want?
Without question.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I said without question. I mean, people, you get various types of responses whenever you see people there. When you see somebody there over 40, the first thing they do is they start crying the first time they see it because they can't imagine having this this man on the mall. Mm-hmm. People under 40 start reading the quotes and seeing the history and seeing how it interrelates even today, years after Dr. King was taken from us.
What do you want Americans of all races on Monday to remember about Dr. King, whether they have the opportunity to visit the memorial or if they are serving in their community on his birthday?
Well, I think it's a sense of gratitude and appreciation for who the man was, that he gave his life for all of us, but he not only made life better here in this country, he made life better around the world. And so when we have the four themes, or talk about the four themes at the memorial, they are themes that resonate with all Americans and humanity: justice, hope, democracy, and love.
The universal themes.
Without question.
Revealing the humanity in all of us. Harry Johnson, the president of the Memorial Foundation, we are so grateful that you were able to join us tonight. Thank you.
Have a wonderful day. Thank you to all for listening in.
This is the Village Celebration Radio Show.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
Doing really well. How are you settling into your new job?
I like the company, and I really like the town. Just having a hard time finding places for my dry cleaning, car repairs, and restaurant. And I really want to support Black-owned businesses.
Have you tried the app created by the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce? It connects you to Black-owned businesses all around the country.
Sounds great.
It is. It helps you locate Black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's exactly what I need. Thanks.
For more information about the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce mobile app, go to usblackchambers.org.
On this special edition of the Village Celebration Radio Show, our tribute to Dr. King, we have come full circle in an hour. We began with the question, what does Dr. King mean to you? And how will you celebrate his birthday on Monday, January 18th? A day of service. If you saw the movie Selma last year, which so many of us were talking about at this time a year ago, you may recall the scene during a particularly stressful time when Dr. King called Mahalia Jackson. He wanted her to sing Precious Lord. Well, tonight, we conclude our show with the song from that scene, Ledisi singing Mahalia Jackson's Precious Lord. On Monday, when the day dawns, let it find you serving and remembering. This is the Village Celebration Radio Show, and I'm Vicki Newton.
Lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, light. Take, Lord, take my hand, precious Lord, and lead. Lord, and lead me home.